And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hey, Wonderlings, I'm your host, Angela Bowen, and today on Looking Back on My Wonder Years of Wonder Years podcast, I will be discussing Season 2, Episode 12, entitled Fate. It aired on March 28th, 1989. Well, Wonderlings, happy Friday. How's everyone been? Have you had a good week? Well, I'm back now from my trip to Washington, D.C. My husband, Jeremy, and I, we had a great time. We saw a lot of sights, including the White House. I finally got to see a panda bear, which was on my bucket list, written in my mind. I did get to eat at Chick-fil-A, finally. I got a bacon and grilled chicken barbecue sandwich. And I loved the waffle fries, too. I loved the sauces, especially the Chick-fil-A sauce and the Polynesian sauce. Were both my favorites out of all the 8 sauces that I tried. I did finish up the last book in the Miranda Kennelly's 100 Oaks series, the 8th book entitled Coming Up for Air, which was about a girl who's training to one day be an Olympic swimmer after high school, and she and her friend decide to date. It's a good book, and the epilogue brought everything full circle by connecting the characters from the first book. Now I'm reading The Art of Holding On and Letting Go by Kristen Bartley Lenz about a girl who's a competitive climber who ends up having to move to Detroit, Michigan to live with her grandparents from California after her world-traveling mountain-climbing parents suffer an accident. It's really good, and I really love the characters. I plan to hopefully finish it over this weekend. I actually managed to get sunburn on my leg and upper arm while riding in the car for over 13 hours from Michigan to Virginia, where we had stayed on the trip. The hotel where we stayed actually had a McDonald's right next to it, so that was pretty much our dinner for the night after we had checked into the hotel. Has anyone seen the new trailer for Season 2 of Stranger Things? I really enjoyed it, and I seriously cannot wait until October. I finally watched the movie Split 2 Fridays ago with Jeremy's mom, and the movie was good. I let my coworker borrow it, and he also really liked it. I also ordered some more Funko Pops for people that collect Funko Pops. I got some more Stranger Things ones that come out in September in time for the Season 2 premiere in October. I've been collecting Funko Pops for a few years now. I also bought the movie Boss Baby, which I haven't watched yet, but I heard that people say it's really good. So I'm looking forward to watching that as well. I found some new favorite candies last week. Mike and Ike's Buttered Popcorn, Kit Kat Strawberry Flavored Miniatures, and Milk Chocolate Flavored Gummy Bears. They are all very good. The Mike and Ike's Buttered Popcorn candies remind me of the Jelly Belly Flavored Popcorn. Butter popcorn that is really hard to try to find. They used to sell it at Meijer in bulk, but they don't anymore. All right, how about we dive right into this fist-punching episode? Oh, but before we do that, I have to congratulate Joey Garcia 38 for getting the trivia question right for this episode, which was, what horror movie franchise did this boy, and there's a picture of actor Justin Whalen, star in as Andy Barkley, and he got the answer right with Child's Play 3. Okay, so today I'm covering Season 2, Episode 12, Fate, which aired on March 28th, 1989. In this episode, Kevin is still dealing with the aftermath of the last episode, Nemesis, where he was talking behind everyone's backs, especially Winnie's. So she, of course, is still extremely pissed at him. Enter one Eddie Panetti, a leather jacket-wearing tough guy, complete with 2 crony henchmen on either side of him. He's got it out for Kevin and plans to make his life a living hell. But what's worse is he's set his sights on Winnie, and she doesn't seem to mind because they end up dating. Ugh! Why, Winnie? That's like 100 steps down from Kirk McRae. Now, the actor who plays him, Robert Jayne, or J-A-Y-N-E, has been in a lot of things over the years. I remember him from Small Wonder and Who's the Boss, where he played a bully in those 2 episodes. He looks like someone who is probably typecast to play a bully-type character in a lot of stuff. Maybe his appearance kind of gives it off. I don't know. Well, let's jump into this bully-centered episode, because I got things to say about this asshole, Cretan, Eddie Panetti, and none of them are good. We open up the episode in the school hallway as we see Eddie Panetti walking down the school hallway with his two lackeys flanked on either side of him. Whether they have names, I have no idea. No, I don't think they ever said anything. They never had any names. No one ever called out to them, so I don't know. They were nameless. The kids all scatter as the bullies walk down the hall, commanding the hallway like they own the school. As he's making his way around the corner, he pushes a group of kids out of his way, then he comes up on this kid at his locker and shoves him out of the way. This little boy looks like he's 9 years old. How is he in seventh grade? But that's my locker, the kid whines. Eddie just smirks at him. Not anymore. He pounds the door with the end of his elbow and opens it. He proceeds to toss out the stuff inside. What piece of shit lockers do they have in this school? He is a dick. Kevin and Paul watch on from afar as Kevin tells us Eddie Panetti, Eddie was the scourge of RFK Junior High and gave new word to the word mean. I had to look up the word scourge, and its definition is a person or thing that causes great trouble or suffering. And the synonyms are affliction, bane, curse, plague, menace, evil, and misfortune, and burden. Ouch. I just hit my elbow on the table. Eddie didn't really have a reason as to why he was so rude, insensitive, and sadistic. It was just kind of who he was. So he pulled all the kids' books and papers out of his locker and onto the floor just to toss a pack of cigarettes inside. Okay. Eddie and his crew walk past the owner of the locker as the kid is bent down gathering up his stuff. Kevin refers to Eddie like a force of nature, a tornado, as Eddie shoulders past him on his way up the stairs. He turns on the stairs and glares at Kevin, and right then I think, okay, what is his deal with Kevin? But we will find out soon enough. Now we move to the field outside the school where we see Winnie practicing field hockey. Kevin watches her from the sidelines. While this is going on, we hear Winnie's theme music playing in the background. Wonder Years has created a theme especially just for Winnie whenever Kevin looks at her. As she tosses her long hair over her shoulder, she does this repeatedly, and for this, I gotta ask, why doesn't she put her hair back in a ponytail to keep it out of her face, or maybe a braid? It's gotta be a pain in the ass to play field hockey with your hair whipping around your face all the time and obstructing your view. I have the scene paused, and right behind Winnie, we see two girls. One has her hair in a braid. The other girl is wearing a headband. Winnie, either of these is an acceptable option. I'm surprised her coach doesn't make it mandatory unless she does this in games, but not practice. We see Paul wind up and chuck a football to Kevin, but Kevin's in full-on Winnie Land mode, so he gets beaned in the head. Ugh, that's gotta hurt. That thing was full of air. Paul yells at him to wake up, will ya? Kevin apologizes as he continues to gawk at Winnie, who meets his eyes and glowers at him. Yes, Kevin, she still thinks you're an asshat for making fun of her. Kevin apologizes as he throws the football back to Winnie, and they both look on at Winnie on the field as she continues to send Kevin daggers with her eyes. Kevin tells us how he was still in love with Winnie Cooper, now more than ever, and how she must have been feeling something too. Yeah, rage. Boy, she really hates you, Paul tells Kevin as they continue to stare out onto the field. She doesn't hate me. She's just mad, Kevin tells Paul confidently. No, she told Carla she hates you, Paul confirms. She really said that? Kevin asks tentatively. She said she never wanted to see your face again, Paul tells him. Kevin looks at Paul like he is this really true? Hey, I'm just being honest, Paul tells him. Which, I mean, wouldn't you want a friend to tell you the truth? I better go talk to her, Kevin decides. I'm telling you, she hates you, Paul repeats. Kevin just rolls his eyes as he strolls away towards Winnie. Yeah, you said that. Paul just looks at Kevin like he's such a hopeless case. As Kevin walks over, in his head, he agrees that he and Winnie had a misunderstanding. But wishing she could never see his face again? That he couldn't believe. Standing next to Winnie as she glares up at him while she's trying to tie her shoe. He smiles down at her, and she just sneers at him, telling him to beat it. Huh? Kevin feigns innocence. You heard me. Make like the wind. Basically telling him to GTFO. Get the fuck out of here. Whoa, Kevin thinks as he pulls back, but then goes for the sad puppy dog look with the sad eyes and quivering lip, hoping to win her favor. Winnie, why are you so mad at me? If I were Winnie, I'd be like, really? Perhaps I should remind you of your little impression you did to make fun of me last week? Winnie's not buying it as she just glares at him. Don't try to fool me, Kevin. You've changed. You talk behind people's backs. You're just not a nice person. Now leave me alone. With that, she takes her field hockey stick and walks away to join the other girls. Not a nice person? Not a nice person? Kevin thinks in his head, not believing her words. I am too a nice person, Kevin yells back at her. Ha! She calls back. In class the next day, we hear the teacher discussing root causes of war and asks the class to name a few. A girl raises her hand and answers, bombs. Kevin sits in class ruminating Winnie's words of calling him not a nice person as he looks over at her, thinking how he can convince her she's wrong. Kevin's startled out of his thoughts by the teacher calling on him to give an example of the root causes of war. Kevin looks at Winnie and says, I think one of the root causes of war is misunderstanding. You know, war starts when people don't understand each other, or when they hear false information, he goes on to explain further. The teacher kind of squints at Kevin, like, I don't understand, but please elaborate, as he says, you're referring to different cultures? Interesting tactic, Kevin, trying to explain your actions to Winnie through your answers to a class assignment. I bet she can see that's what he's trying to do. Sure, Kevin tells him, thinking how he was on a roll and sounding philosophical. Smart. Nice. No, you weren't, Kevin. The teacher does, in fact, tell him to elaborate, please. Kevin goes on to explain his current situation between Winnie and Becky through the feuding of different cultures, and the whole time he's doing this, he keeps glancing in Winnie's direction, and she just is tapping her pencil really fast against the table, like she knows he's talking about her. Kevin gets on such a roll that he's practically to the point of shouting, and he's standing up in his chair as he grips the sides of his desk. I notice he does that a lot when he's on a roll. Finally, the teacher's had enough, since Kevin's making no sense and wasting everyone's fucking time. He yells, Mr. Arnold! Kevin snaps out of his tirade and looks around as everyone erupts in laughter. Winnie's just staring off to the side like she can't even bother to look him in the face, but then she glowers at him like, what is your problem? In the hallway, Kevin is pissed as we see him slam his locker. He's been laughed at, mocked, his self-image was getting tarnished. Then we see Eddie Panetti coming around the corner. One of his cronies, the Justin Whalen kid, is wearing a sleeveless jean jacket with a black turtleneck. Blah. I am not into fashion, but I'm pretty sure that's a fashion no-no even for the 60s. Boys should only wear turtlenecks to cover up hickeys. Eddie goes over to a locker, pounds on it with his fist, and it magically opens. Why the hell, if it's that simple, why even bother having combination locks if all you have to do to open a locker is to punch it with your fist or the end of your elbow? Kevin watches this from across the hall and realizes it's Winnie's locker. Kevin calls out to Eddie across the bay of lockers as Eddie continues to rifle through Winnie's things inside her locker. Eddie turns around to face Kevin, and he tells Eddie, that's not your locker? No kidding, Eddie tells him sarcastically, turning back around. Kevin storms over to Eddie, getting in his face and yelling, hey, I said that's not your locker. Kevin's all angry from class earlier, so even though his intentions were good, storming over there like you want to antagonize the guy isn't the best way to defend someone's honor. You're just going to get hurt. Eddie tells Kevin, so? And at this, Kevin deflates. And tells Eddie nervously that Eddie shouldn't go into a locker that isn't his. Eddie takes the opening of Kevin losing his confidence to completely take control of the situation, turning on Kevin like a rabid dog. So, in other words, you have a problem with this, he asks Kevin. Yes, Kevin squeaks out. Yeah, I do, Kevin says, gathering courage. Eddie grabs Kevin and shoves him up against the lockers, telling Kevin, "Yeah, your problem is with me." "This must be between classes. I'm not afraid of you," Kevin stutters, looking at Eddie. "Yes, you are," Eddie confirms. "Eddie!" a voice shouts out off screen. We see Mr. DiPerna rounding the corner, saved in the nick of time, or is this just going to make it worse? DiPerna walks up to them, asking, "What's going on here?" "Nothing," Eddie tells him all chill. Kevin looks at DiPerna and smiles, telling him, "We were just talking." "Just talking?" DiPerna asks, unconvinced. Okay, DiPerna's a lot of things, but he's not an idiot. The boys all nod at him nervously. DiPerna doesn't leave, he just leans against the bay of lockers, turns his head to the side to glare at Eddie, and says, "You know, Panetti, I'm getting pretty damn sick and tired of you." So he's probably heard of the crap that Eddie's been pulling. "Well, DiPerna, if that's the case, expel his ass. I mean, do you have to catch him in the act of violence beforehand? In today's world, forget being expelled, this kid would most likely be arrested for assault." Kevin groans at the fact that DiPerna is making the situation worse between him and Eddie. DiPerna goes so far as to make Eddie apologize to Kevin. It sounds more like he's trying to intimidate Eddie into submission than he is caring that Kevin could get hurt. "Huh?" Eddie looks at him. "Apologize to Arnold," DiPerna repeats. "Really, that's not necessary," Kevin tells as his voice cracks. DiPerna doesn't even look at Kevin as he stares Eddie down. "Apologize, Eddie. Say you're sorry." Eddie just glares at Kevin and deadpans. "I'm sorry, Arnold." "Doesn't that feel better, Eddie?" DiPerna asks, smirking, almost like he just got through castrating him. Eddie gives DiPerna the side eye, and then DiPerna tells everyone standing in the halls, "Back to business," and the kids disperse. As DiPerna walks past Eddie, he looks over his shoulder and tells him he'll be keeping an eye on him. He points and says, "Both of them, including Kevin." So the victim has become the blamed as well? That's fucked up. Eddie walks around the corner, but not before giving the side eye to Kevin. In the next scene, we hear Paul, "Are you crazy? Eddie's a killer!" Looks like the boys are in art class. I've never seen them in art class before. I remember art class in high school. I did a paper on Andy Warhol and got an A. The teacher commented it was better than most students, and I seriously was so proud to hear that. He removes tonsils with his bare hands. He does eye surgery as he touches the papier-mâché head, Paul informs Kevin. "Really? I don't know what Paul is making, but it's round." "I know," Kevin tells him, and Paul asks why he did it. Kevin just tells him he didn't do anything, it just happened. Paul tells him there's only one thing for Kevin to do. He has to give him money, as he goes to pull out his wallet, telling him he heard that works. And how he'll even pitch in. "What?" Kevin explains. "Yeah, Paul, Kevin's right. You don't ever give someone money in hopes they'll leave you alone. It never works. Because they'll just want more and more, and it will never end, and you'll wind up broke." Kevin tells him he's not going to do that, and Paul tells him that Eddie's not just going to forget about this. Kevin thinks that Paul might be right, and maybe he did act hastily. Then all of a sudden, all the kids in the room are staring at him, even Winnie. Kevin thinks maybe she heard about him defending her locker to Eddie. Oh, hold on a second. Winnie whispers something to Carla and then walks over to Kevin and Paul, asking if it's true about Eddie. And Kevin smiles, saying, "Yeah." Then she walks back over to Winnie, and Winnie just looks at him with a concerned expression. Kevin decides to head back over, to head over to Winnie's table, but just as he stands up, Paul alerts him to Eddie's presence. Why in the hell is he just allowed to walk the halls and into other occupied classrooms? Eddie comes up behind Kevin, pushing him back down into his chair by the shoulders. He tells Kevin he's been thinking about him, and Kevin nervously asks, "Oh, really? Thinking about how I'm going to remove your tonsils with my bare hands," Eddie finishes. Okay, why isn't the teacher in the room saying anything? Tell him to leave! I mean, she was there like a second ago! Eddie continues to intimidate Kevin, asking, "You're scared, aren't you?" Kevin stresses, looking around, unsure what to do. Then he takes his pan, filled with papier-mâché mix, and dumps it on Eddie's hand. Sorry, Kevin tells him. Then we hear DiPerna's voice from the hallway calling Eddie's name. What took him so long? And did he just happen to walk by, or did the teacher get on the intercom? Aren't you in the wrong room? Dupurna asks. Eddie leans down to threaten Kevin, telling him, Later, Arnold, when Dupurna's not around. You're gonna be glue. This guy should have been kicked out of school long ago. Paul looks at Kevin, shocked. I can't believe you did that. Kevin surprised him even himself, and Winnie just glowers at him. As this was my first viewing, I don't think I would have gotten that she was seeing Eddie at this time. In the next scene, we see Kevin and Paul smiling and laughing together as they round the corner, but Kevin stops short as he sees Eddie and Winnie together as he pulls a book out of her locker and handing it to her. Then he puts a hand on her shoulder. Kevin asks Paul, what's Eddie doing with Winnie and why has he got his hands all over her? Paul basically tells Kevin to stay out of it, saying, we don't know and we don't care. Even I have a hard time believing this guy has a sweet and sensitive side to him, being he's into intimidating people to get his way and throwing his weight around the school. I mean, Winnie's great and all, but I doubt she has the power to bring Eddie from the dark side over to Rainbows and Kittens. Paul stops Carla in the hall and asks what's the deal with Winnie and Eddie, and Carla confirms, well, they've been dating and going out since last week. Dang, she asks fast. What qualities does she see in this guy? Because I see no redeeming of any kind. Kevin looks on helplessly as Eddie and Winnie walk up the stairs together with his arm draped across her shoulders. We see Winnie yell at Kevin, I don't want to talk to you, as she slams the door in his face. Well, of course, Kevin. Not giving up, Kevin repeatedly pushes the doorbell until she opens the door again. You have to talk to me, Kevin tells her matter-of-factly. Give me one good reason, Winnie tells him. Eddie Panetti, Kevin says. What about him, Winnie asks. Winnie, he's a goon, a maniac, Kevin shouts. No, he's not. He's a nice person, she tells him. He's just misunderstood, she clarifies, like that justifies his actions. Oh, Winnie girl, please tell me you are not that naive. Look, Winnie, this guy could really hurt you, Kevin tells her. All right, I'm with Kevin 100% on this. He could physically and honestly fuck up her reputation as well. This guy is bad news, and she needs to stay away. At least Kevin cares enough to warn her. You mean you. That's what you're really worried about, she points out. All right, me. Me and you. Both of us, Kevin says. Well, you started it. Eddie told me, Winnie says. Of course he did, Winnie, because he's a liar, so he would make it out to be, it would be Kevin's fault. Besides, he's not gonna hurt anybody. Hold on a second. I'm gonna shut this door because that loud music is disrupting me. I don't get it. I mean, what do you see in him, Kevin asks. All right, let me see if I can guess. He's a bad boy, and she wants to change him. Classic trope. Well, at least he's honest, and he doesn't talk behind other people's backs. And I really don't think this is any of your business anymore. Goodbye, Kevin, she tells him, then slams the door in his face. Well, at that, Kevin figures he's on his own, but then he takes Winnie's words into consideration that maybe Eddie was just misunderstood. Yeah, I'd say fat chance to that. My guess is Eddie comes from a broken home or an abusive home and takes his anger and controlling issues out on other kids. I mean, seriously, how are those other boys that are with him getting out of not getting kicked, getting their asses kicked by him? I mean, are they paying him? I mean, they don't look that tough. Yes, muscly boy is got muscles, but seriously, the other guy does nothing. He does nothing, and I will go on about that later. In the next scene, we see Kevin getting pushed back against the bathroom stall by Eddie in the boys' bathroom. Where you been, Arnold? Haven't seen you around the last couple days, Eddie asks, getting in Kevin's face. Well, I've been kind of busy, haven't I, Paul? Kevin says, turning to Paul. And that's where we see Eddie's beefy sidekick with Paul in a headlock. What the hell? Poor Paul. Paul says he can vouch for Kevin. Eddie goes on to ask, you know, it seems like you've been avoiding me. Is that so? And I'm like, okay, well, if you have to answer your own question, then yes, I have. In Kevin's mind, we hear how he simply found a new route to school and a new locker and a broom closet on the second floor. Kevin asks Eddie if they can talk, and Eddie asks, about what? Paul suggests that maybe Kevin wants to give Eddie money, and the guy holding Paul in a headlock tightens his grip. Jeez, he could be doing serious damage to Paul's neck. Now, I've never had a physical altercation with a bully before. It was more that they would openly tease me to my face in class, in the halls, even in the bathroom. I wasn't safe in high school. I had to deal with slander of someone writing stuff about me on the walls in the bathroom, saying I was gay. That cut so deep. I think I was a sophomore, and what's worse, that continued through to my senior year. Someone would just paint over it. Years later, I graduated, I found out that a friend of mine had been the one who was actually doing it. That really hurt me. It's one of the reasons I don't trust people or decided not to do the friendship thing anymore. I never had many friends to begin with growing up, so honestly, that's not that hard to do. Kevin tells Eddie he's been in kind of a bad mood and was wondering if they could forget the whole thing. No, Kevin. You know he isn't going to forget. This guy cannot be reasoned with. For a moment, it looks like Eddie is considering Kevin's offer to forget about it, asking, "You want to forget about it, huh?" He lets Kevin go, and Kevin tells him, "Yeah, if that's okay with you." Kevin thinks he sees a look of respect, mutual respect, pass over Eddie's face. Then Eddie hauls back and punches Kevin in the jaw, and Kevin falls to the ground. Kevin's lying there on the bathroom floor, realizing he's never been hit before, and that being punched in the face hurts. Like, really hurts. I'm surprised Eddie didn't dislocate Kevin's jaw with that roundhouse punch. Eddie bends over, pointing a finger in Kevin's face, telling him, "Eddie Panetti never forgets. Think about it, Arnold." Eddie looks to his two cronies and points out, "You know what? Winnie Cooper was right. He is a jerk." The beefy kid lets Paul go, and all three boys walk out of the bathroom. What's with Justin Whalen's character? He doesn't talk. He doesn't do anything, really. He just hangs around. Why does Eddie need him? He's got the beefy kid with the muscles. He really doesn't need the other one. Paul asks Kevin if he's okay, and Kevin, acting tough, says, "Yeah." As Kevin lies there, he takes Winnie's words to heart of Winnie calling Kevin a jerk. Then Paul helps him to his feet. Paul tells Kevin, "It's not so bad. Look on the bright side. I think you hurt his fist." Doubtful, Paul. If that were the case, he wouldn't go around punching people. Kevin just looks at Paul like, "Really?" At dinner that night, Norma notices Kevin's holding his hand to his cheek and not eating. Kevin tells her he's not hungry, and Kevin thinks, no way is he going to attempt corn on the cob with a busted jaw. Norma tells him, "But you love corn on the cob." And when Kevin doesn't make a move, Wayne swoops in and takes it. Right after Kevin mentions how no one happened to notice his face, Karen right away asks what's on his face. Wayne notices too, and then he says, "It looks like a huge hickey." No, it doesn't. It just looks red and swelled up. "It does not," Kevin tells him. Then Norma chimes in with, "What is that?" And Jack asking, "Yeah, what the hell is that?" Kevin tells him it's nothing really, and Wayne chuckles and says two words, "Eddie Panetti." Jack asks, "Who's Eddie Panetti?" "Well," Wayne says, "he's this kid in 8th grade who rips out kids' tonsils with his bare hands," Wayne tells Jack. And the whole time, Kevin is yelling Wayne's name to get him to shut up. So even Wayne has heard the stories about Eddie. Here's my question, though. If Wayne and Kevin go to the same school, and we know that they do because they were in the same lunchroom in the pilot episode. So if they go to the same school, why does Wayne not tell Eddie? Why doesn't he tell Eddie to fuck off and leave Kevin alone? I mean, come on, Wayne. He's your little brother. Stick up for him. Wayne points at Kevin and says how Kevin picked a fight with him. "I did not," Wayne tells the family. "That's what I heard," Wayne tells them. "Kevin, he hit you?" Norma says, outraged. Kevin tells her it's no big deal. "He hit you?" Norma repeats. "Kids today, they're animals," Karen remarks. "Yes, Karen, they sure are. Nowadays, they're even worse." Wait a minute. I want to know what's going on here. And I want to know now, Jack tells Kevin. Oh boy, Dad's mad. But then again, he has every right to be. Someone hit his son. While Kevin tries to figure out what to say, his inner voice pleads with him to tell Jack he's in over his head. "There's this kid," Kevin tells him. His inner voice says, "Yeah, there's this kid, and he's twice your size. And there was this fight," he continues. His inner voice mentions, "Yeah, and there's going to be more fights if someone doesn't do something to stop it." "And that's all. It's over," Kevin stutters, not looking at Jack. "It's over?" Jack firms, leveling Kevin with a hard look, like, it better be. Yeah, Kevin says. Jack studies Kevin for a moment, saying, well, if it's over, it's over. Kevin looks around the table at his family. Yeah, that's what I said. The next scene, we get Aretha Franklin's song Respect playing overhead as a montage of Eddie and his cronies tormenting Kevin, knocking him down with his books outside of school, his locker being filled with jock straps. Ew, I hope those are clean jock straps. Otherwise, his locker is going to reek of dick and ball stench. Nasty. Ew. And he actually pulls one out to examine it, like, oh, this is a jock strap. Ew, he's touching it. Kevin on the stairs watches Winnie at her locker as Eddie walks by, knocking his books out of his hand and laughing. Really? I'm surprised he didn't push Kevin down those steps. I mean, we've already seen he's not above bodily harm, hence Kevin and the busted jaw. Eddie tries to put his hand in Winnie's back pocket, but she stops him and turns to tell him off. He just shrugs as they walk away. Now we see Paul and Kevin coming through the hall. Paul's bouncing a basketball. Paul tells Kevin he's got to do something and suggests jujitsu and tells him that his uncle knows it. Well, great. We'll have your uncle fight Eddie, Kevin sarcastically says. Paul shrugs how he's just trying to help, and Kevin tells him that he knows. I know. Paul stops and faces Kevin, telling him, for what it's worth, I'm with you all the way. Aw, what a great friend there, that Paul. It's just that I only have this one pair of glasses, Paul confides. Kevin looks at Paul, knowing it's not Paul's problem. He thinks how he's getting used to the idea of without tonsils, without pride, without Winnie. Then we hear Winnie's voice telling Eddie to stop that. Then we see Eddie being a piece of shit, using Winnie's field hockey stick to lift up her skirt. What a sick fuck. And his two goons are just laughing. Take if this is after school. I mean, where the hell is DiPerna? How nice when this poor girl is being sexually assaulted. He is nowhere to be found. This guy is making me so mad. I want to rip his fucking balls off. Then Winnie grabs her field hockey stick and runs off. Eddie and his cronies slap high five. Kevin, clearly, he has had enough. He calls out to Eddie. Hey, Panetti! Eddie laughs and points at Kevin. Hey, look who's here. It's the twerp. And the three boys laugh hysterically. Kevin, furious, stalks towards Eddie with renewed rage boiling inside of him, thinking to himself, what did he have to lose? Except for parts of his body. Paul follows him with his basketball tucked underneath his arm. Paul could have aimed it at Eddie's face. I would have. What's the matter, Arnold? Need another delivery of jock straps? Eddie laughs. Ha ha ha, very funny, Panetti, Kevin tells him. As Kevin tries to get his words out, Eddie continues to shove Kevin. I notice kids on the stairs. How convenient that not one of them bothered to look for DiPerna. Yeah, I know no one wants to be a squealer, but let him see this and finally take action and getting this damn kid the fuck out of there. Kevin's finally had enough, cocks his arm back, throwing a punch past Eddie's face and hits him on the shoulder. It looks like a shoulder punch one guy would have given another in a friendly gesture. He should have aimed higher or maybe have Jack teach him how to defend himself and punch correctly. We hear Eddie's goons laughing in the background, and Kevin, noticing his aim was off, just looks at Eddie like, oh shit. I was like, don't stop now, hit him again and again until you hit your mark. Don't pause and realization of your actions. Eddie pushes Kevin to the ground and then proceeds to punch him repeatedly in the stomach until his nose starts to bleed. How does that work? Paul just drops his basketball and books and assumes the position of being held back by the two guys. I would have put up a fight. Kick him in the ball! Kick them in the balls! Make as much noise as possible. Kick him! You know, I'm like, kick him! Kick him, Kevin! But then I'm like, is he pinning down his legs? Eddie and the guys take off. Paul asks if... So basically when Eddie did get up, he was kind of sitting on his knees or legs or stomach or whatever and just hauling off and just punching the shit out of him. So Eddie and the guys take off. Paul asks if Kevin's okay and he mutters yes. Winnie comes over to Kevin, bending down at his side, asking if Winnie's okay. Where were you, Winnie? She could have used that field hockey stick upside Eddie's head. Kevin looks at Winnie like, oh, you actually give a shit now? Thank you. Doesn't matter, Kevin tells her. You're all such jerks, she tells them, smirking. They all smile at each other, and Kevin asks if they're going to help him up. Kevin looks at them and tells them he may need a little help getting home. With an arm draped over Paul and Winnie, they all kind of smirk at each other. Then we see them outside the school, heading to the stop sign. Kevin asks Winnie if she really called him a jerk, and she tells him yes, but I was mad. So, well, now we're even. I did something wrong and stupid, and now you did something wrong and stupid back. Right? Kevin asks. I don't know what you're talking about, she tells him as they continue to walk. Kevin's inner voice tells us Rome wasn't built in a day. It's fate, Winnie, he tells her. Huh? She asks, confused. Never mind, Kevin tells her. All right, that's the end of the episode. Time for my Flower Power episode rating. I'm giving it 5 out of 5 Flower Power petals. Kevin finally stands up to the bully, number one. Paul, number two, standing up with Kevin. 3, DiPerna getting after Eddie. Honestly, he should have just kicked him out of school. 4, Kevin defending Winnie's honor. 5, Kevin and Winnie make up and Winnie and Paul help Kevin get home. Wonderling words of wisdom. Don't ever try to fight a bully on your own. I mean, get someone, a teacher, principal, someone else. I have no idea, honestly, what it's like in schools now, but I'm glad that they have the anti-bullying law and the no-bully zone, if they hopefully still do in schools. You know, I just wish they could have done that years ago. Here's my quote for the episode. Narrator, but then, something inside me snapped. From deep inside, I felt rage. Not just for me, but for every kid who'd ever been picked on, humiliated, bullied. For every kid who'd gone home ashamed, I put every shred of dignity and self-respect I had into that punch. Unfortunately, my aim was bad. Even more unfortunately, Eddie's wasn't. Those next 10 minutes were kind of a blur. Still, as Eddie worked out his deep-seated feelings of inadequacy, I began to realize something. Sooner or later, this would be over, and I would survive. All right, who was the worst this episode? Of course, without question, it's going to go to Eddie. He's getting not only the boosh, toilet swirly, but the wedgie. That is a first, but honestly, he deserves both of them. Let's give a shout out to some new Wonderling listeners of the week. Manchester, United Kingdom, Acapulco, Mexico, Medford, New York, Worcester, Massachusetts, Columbia, South Carolina, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Dronten, Netherlands, Yokohama, Japan, El Paso, Texas, Canal, Winchester, Ohio, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Southgate, California, Bronx, New York, and Edison, New Jersey. And to all the other listeners out there, thanks again for listening. I want to give you a sincere thank you to all you listeners out there, whether you're listening to this podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud or any other listening platforms that you may use to hear this podcast. I love giving you the episode recaps of the Wonder Years every week, joining me as I go into full detail as we reminisce of days gone by with Kevin and his friends, Paul and Winnie, and the rest of the Arnold family, as well as giving my occasional running commentary and childhood stories. To stay connected to the podcast, visit my many social media sites, Facebook page, Looking Back on My Wonder Years and Wonder Years Podcast, Instagram, LBOM Wonder Years Podcast, Twitter, Wonder Years Pod. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Tell your friends. Also, you can find my social media sites by accessing the links on my SoundCloud page. I do weekly trivia and listener questions, so if you'd like a shout-out on the podcast, all you got to do is answer them. Join me next Friday, August 4th, when I discuss Season 2, Episode 13, Birthday Boy, as we wish both Paul and Kevin a happy 13th birthday. This episode aired on April 11th, 1989. Get ready to blow out the birthday candles for the boys. Kevin's birthday celebration comes crashing down when he realizes Paul's bar mitzvah is on the same day as his birthday. Can Kevin put his hurt feelings aside and support Paul's big day by helping celebrate his Jewish rite of passage? Listen to find out. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the sunshine. Keep making your own Wonder Years memories. And have a great weekend. Bye. See you next Friday. Thank you.
Thank you.